But I will tell you, when we went to Naka, you would be proud of your representatives here. They represented you all and represented the kingdom well. I want to share this morning out of Romans chapter 10. And I'm going to begin at verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are in the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. That's this team goes and tells and shows the good news of Christ to the students, the staff out at Naka, and people along the way as we go. I do want to share quickly, Lana and I both appreciate your caring for us through pastor appreciation. Really, I always say, that's always an awkward time, I think. But, see, you know, the way you show appreciation the most is if you walk with Jesus and follow him with all your heart. That's what it's really about. But I want to say that now that October's over and we're in November, this is Congregation Appreciation Day. And I just want to tell you all how much I appreciate you. And just how, as a congregation, we're looking at ways to reach out and connect to others and show Christ wherever we go. And we were at Choices. What night was that? Was that Thursday? Thursday. And we didn't quite catch everybody, I don't think, but we had a good crowd from Real Life Chapel there. It was a great representation of our church going into the community and speaking life into life and representing Christ. So I just want to thank you all and tell you how much I appreciate you as a congregation. You all are the best. Yeah, clap for yourselves. That's good. So we are now going to hear about how Christ worked in lives of those who went to Naka and what we've experienced going there. And Lexi paid me big bucks to go first.
Before I started going to church, I always wanted a way to help, to travel and help people. Once I started coming to this church, I heard about Naka and I signed up right away. There was no questioning it. God had it on my calendar before I did. I didn't know much about any of the students, the staff, or the people I was going with. We were assigned jobs. I was told to clean, paint the cafeteria doors, and the curtains in the classroom. Before I met the students, I was worried I wouldn't be able to connect with them very well. But not only did I build relationships with the students, I built relationships with my team and the staff. I heard many testimonies that had so many emotions, ones that you could hear in 20 minutes but will stick with you forever. Two of them being the same age as me. During one girl's testimony, she said something that I connected with. Some of you know that I smile a lot. And so does she, and when people ask her why, she says, because God. Because God's so good. the most special thing about the trip, it was being able to make friends with the students. They're so positive. And I felt grateful to be able to get closer with them each day and just learn from them. Knowing that they could trust me and to make them laugh was such a heartwarming feeling. But it did make it harder to leave them. Thank you. The experience made me a better follower of Christ, and I'm thankful that I was used by him and that he's leading me in the right direction.
Who wants to go next?
Yeah. Okay. Now I have to stand. Sheriff's in town. Tells me where to go. This is my second trip to Naka. And what I was struck with the first time, as well as the second, is just the absolute beauty of Arizona, the rock formations that we do not have here. That you can see for miles and miles and miles. It's just absolutely beautiful. Rainbows, we got to see pictures of the SpaceX launch. Somebody on the reservation sent pictures back to somebody who was at Naka of the SpaceX. So I don't know if it's on there, but you can see where it originates. It's just absolutely beautiful. Yeah, I didn't see that. I learned a lot about myself. Carol wasn't able to make it. I missed Carol. He continues to put me in circumstances that are uncomfortable for me and stretch me in ways that I look at myself and go, oh, you need to get it together, girl. So Jesus had to talk to me a little bit in the beginning, and I got myself together. I was drawn to a young lady, one of the young ladies Lexi was talking about, Shavana. She just was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. She wore a lot of the Indian the beads, the moccasins. Like, she just had the whole look. She was absolutely beautiful, and she had a very dramatic story. And I think what impacted me about some of their stories is they sound, to ask them a simple question about where's your family from, it's sometimes like maybe an inner city child when you ask them about their family, and it's so broken and shattered and scattered. Yet you still could find commonality in our need for Jesus. Our stories, you know, all of us kind of overlap in our deep need for him. The other two things I thought were really exciting, I was sharing with Charlotte, is I was telling the pastor, she's also the administrator there, she pastors a church in town, and I said one of the biggest things we have at our church, one of the biggest ministries, is the shoeboxes. And she said, oh, we distribute shoeboxes. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then I thought, she just said distribute. So the pastors off, they call it the res, the Navajo reservation, come off the res, and she gives them the shoeboxes to take with them to share Jesus with the Navajo people. So that gave me all kinds of goosebumps. Perfect for this season that we're in. And the other thing I thought was cool is that they're considering bringing their seniors out here for a senior trip. So that would be amazing if you guys could meet some of their kids, because they are really cool.
Okay. I don't think they really need it with me, but well, my story starts 3 years ago when I went for the very first time. I didn't know what to expect, and wow. So while I was there, they talked about sponsoring children. It's only $50 a month per family. No matter have you six kids or you have two kids or one kid, it's $50 a month. And so God was speaking to me on that. And I was looking around because there's a lot of kids. And I was like, which one? Oh, my. I couldn't pick. But I secretly picked out one It was a girl. She was in the eighth grade. And she kind of sat away and wasn't sure of herself. And it kind of reminded me of me when I was growing up. But I still couldn't pick. So I went to Pastor Christie and I said, I really want to sponsor someone, but I can't pick. I said, can you pick for me? She said, sure. She took her 30 seconds, maybe. She looks around. She said, her. It was the girl that I picked. I was like, wow. So I sponsored her for a little over a year, and she just left. And I didn't know why. I just started sponsoring another child. So COVID came, and I couldn't sponsor anymore because I was having trouble myself. So I stopped doing it. So this time when we went, I actually had second thoughts of going because already being there once and experiencing it, I thought somebody else needs to experience what I experienced. And I felt like maybe I shouldn't go, but I was talked into going, so I did. And wow, I'm so glad I did because it was so much better than the first time. And I just couldn't imagine that. So we get there on Monday morning. We have our devotions and our instructions on what we're going to do that day. And Pastor Christie said, everyone on campus is so excited today. We have three girls coming back that have been here before, but they left, and now they're coming back today. And I turned to Si and I said, oh my gosh, I wonder if one of them's my girl. That's what I called her. She said, we'll see. So in the cafeteria, we could sit with them to eat, but on breakfast and lunch, we sat apart from them because of school. They had to get back to school. But dinner, we could sit with them. And we went in first, got our food, and sat down and scattered around. And the kids came in second, and so they could, like, sit where they wanted to sit. Like, we weren't picking people. They were. So some of the teenage girls sat down around me. Two were in front of me. One was on the side of me. And then Si was sitting over here. And so I got to talking to them, asking them their names, how old they were. And I got to the one on the right, and I said, what's your name? And she said, Kanyla. That's the girl that I sponsored. And she said to me, you sponsored me. I didn't even, 3 years later, I didn't even recognize her. But she knew me. So we talked and we just, everybody split. And at night we played with them, like in the gym and stuff like that. But she never really, she was different. I couldn't figure out why, but she was different. And she didn't want to talk like she did 3 years ago. She just from afar, you know. So the last, I think it was on Thursday, her sister wound up telling her testimony to us one morning in devotional. And her sister was saying how it's been a rough 2 years and or 3 years or so, how they didn't at that time have school till the 12th grade, and her sister was ready to go out and get in high school, so she took her sister with her. Her sister was Kanyla, which I didn't know that, and that's why she left. But there was a lot of stuff going on at home, too. There was, her dad drank a lot, and he was an alcoholic, and there were guns and knives and brothers and fathers fighting, and it was really bad. And she herself had experienced physical, mental, and sexually abuse from within the family. And she said she was mad at God. And she said she found herself lifting her hand up and hitting Kanyla. So as I'm sitting there, I'm realizing this is where Kanyla has been. No wonder she's different. No wonder she's a little sad and set back. So luckily, they wound up back at NECA, and she's now working there, helping in the kitchen and in the health department, and brought her sister back with her. So that's how she got back. And so I went to the office the next day, and I asked about her. Did she have a sponsor? And so I wound up sponsoring her. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I guess he's going to help me. And so they gave me all this information on her. It was amazing. Her favorite color is blue, so is mine. One of her favorite meals is spaghetti, so is mine. Her favorite pet is a dog, so is mine. It was like, oh my gosh. I mean, he was there all the way through everything. He was there in all things. And it was just amazing to see how he showed up. But then the next day I get home, is this working? And I walked my dogs in the morning, and I walked out, and I seen all the colors, and the sun was shining warm on me. And I just so appreciated what we have here. We take everything for granted. And so I started talking and praying to God and just thanking him for everything, for my water running and I can drink it. Just simple things like that that we couldn't do there. And we started talking, and I just thanked him for everything. And at that time, I just said, I am worthy of you. I realized for the first time, I am worthy of him. And I just said, fill me up, take me in, let me take you in. And I reconnected with God at that time out in the field with my two dogs. If somebody see me out there, they would have thought, what in the world is she doing? But it was awesome. It was really awesome. And I really do appreciate everybody. You know, he's there for everybody, not just me. He's there for everybody. Everybody is worthy. I mean, he got on that cross and he took all that stuff for us. For us. So, and if you're not there, you need to check him out. Get on the, what I call it, the Jesus train. I'm telling you, it's worth it. But the trip was really amazing, and all these people are amazing. They kept me laughing, that's for sure, and kept me straight. So it was wonderful. Everyone should experience it.
Hi. Nova's up here because she went with us, and so did Presley, but she was not cooperating. Thankfully, they actually did really well on the trip. Presley only wanted me to hold her for a week straight, so I need physical therapy now, but it's fine. So this was our fourth time going. We missed the past 2 years because of COVID, but it's kind of cool because the first time we went, him and I were just dating, and then the second time we went, we were married. The third time we went, we were pregnant. Nobody knew. And then this time, we went with two kids. Literally, I think like one person knew the whole trip, and I was like had snacks all the time. And it was Steph and her now husband. And he was like, she eats like all the time. She's just constantly eating. And she's, you know, Steph didn't want to tell him. She's like, yeah, she's just hungry. But it's because I wanted to throw up the whole time, the whole trip. But it was really amazing for us to be able to go this time because for have been there, you know, like 4 years ago, like the same students are still there and they got to meet our children and they just loved playing with them, which was so sweet. And I think because I was like, why did God want them to go? Because I really feel like God did want our kids to go. Right. Did you have fun in Arizona?
Say yes.
And I spent a lot of time with more of the younger kids because I had a baby on my hip the whole time, so I didn't get to play sports or anything fun like that. But I think that it was for them to, like, see a loving mother, I think. So, I don't know. That's pretty awesome, I feel like. And him and I got to share our testimonies with the high school group, who was pretty awesome.
It was pretty awesome. Yeah. Now, it was great. It was great going there. And on the way there, we were like, we don't know, you know, if any of the kids that we knew from before would be there. Because we knew COVID hit us hard. But as bad as you think things are here at your lowest, like, it doesn't compare to their poor or their lowest. You know what I mean? And, you know, we got the one I connected with the most was a high school senior. And I got to do a special art project with them, which was pretty cool. You see it up on the wall. It's like a picture of Flash Up. It's like got a little bit of yellow on there. So they're both of the two seniors were big time in anime and art and all that stuff. So I pretty much taught them how to kind of do graffiti in a way. So it was like a we drew it out on a piece of paper, and then they said, well, we never drew anything, you know, big like that or whatever. So I showed them how to pretty much take it from this big to make it bigger, and then, you know, with sizing and everything. And then they never used the Sharpie paint pens before, so I bought them some. Yeah, because yeah, I don't know, they're supposed to have it, so I'm sorry, Pastor Christie, but it's too late now. Nah, I ain't getting no spray cans. Yeah, because that really would have got Mark in trouble. But yeah, so we was doing that. I would have got to work with him, talk with him a lot. And so he really doesn't have a place to go when he leaves for the weekends. And, you know, so he said, sometimes, you know, I just drive over here, or sometimes I'll drive there or have someone come pick me up or something. But sometimes I don't really go anywhere. So me and him really connected, because that's rough. Imagine when you was in high school, and he's younger high school. You know what I mean? Like, he could have graduated last year at like 15 or 16 or something crazy, but they was like, nah, let's just keep him another year, you know? But imagine when you was a high school senior, if you had nowhere to go home, you know what I mean? Like, that's just kind of crazy to think about it. And then their family, and we told you guys like 4 years ago, but their alcohol fatality rate is 400 times higher than our national average. So that's no joke. Like, so that means they have absolutely nothing to do, to the point where they drink so much to where they die, you know, or drugs and overdose. And a lot of the grandparents are raising the kids. And there's actually, on some of the reservations, you can't sell alcohol to natives. Like, you can get arrested for it. Some of the gas stations and stuff, you can't sell liquor at all, you know. And I don't know about the Arizona ones per se, but a lot of other reservations are like that because of the alcohol fatality rate. But this time it was different for me this time, because obviously taking a family, you know, I knew she was going to love it, because this is an outside girl. I was just worried more or less of her finding a scorpion or a rattlesnake, which they did find a baby rattlesnake while we were there. And obviously you see the picture of the spider, so, you know, I'll fight a pit bull quick, but I don't know what to do with a rattlesnake. So, you know. Did you have fun? What you want to sing? You ain't even going to sing nothing. But, yeah, I never had so many kids rub my head and rub my baby's head for good luck so much in my life. I don't know why. It must be a thing, but I let it happen. You know, maybe it gave him some good luck. I know it gave Lexi a little bit of good luck in the basketball court, because she made a shot or two. And don't let that smile fool you. She talks more junk than anybody else in this room. Yeah. Yeah. She was super quiet, like, for however many years I've known her or seen her here. Take her to a reservation and something happens. That girl got some res courage, because when she gets there, she literally didn't make any shots until all the kids were watching. And then she decides to pull a Steph Curry step back. I'm talking junk. I'm like, oh, you ain't going to make it. And she's like, step back. Nothing but net. I was like, all the kids was like, oh. And she was like, boom. Like, she's been doing it all night. Boom. I was like, okay. Okay. But she's good. And she's too. So. But it was amazing. And just to see, you know, my wife and my daughters interact was just a blessing. But I want to take a quick second to give it up for our team. They had like a ridiculous amount of things that had to get done for their the fire chief, fire marshal, came and just straight up like red inked everything on the whole campus, right? 35 pages. This team right here done absolutely everything that they didn't need a permit for. So they literally done everything. Everything got done. So give them a round of applause. And for the record, I can't speak about Jamaica, but Pastor Marcus leading you guys. You know, he's great at being a pastor. I'm pretty sure he was a fantastic chicken man. But a navigator, he is not. I'm sure we all heard the song, Jesus Take the Wheel. We all take that spiritually, figuratively. I'm pretty sure Pastor Mark took it literally. We were going places that I'm like, we're getting back on the highway. Okay, we're going this way. We're going to go back off the highway, just turn around and go, okay. I've never seen a scenic route so unnecessary. We went to a gas station where there was, no, my time ain't up. This ain't even a watch. That's how I know my time ain't up. We went to a gas station where there was like six pipeheads walking around screaming. I think the one dude was shooting dice with no dice, and all because he wanted to go a different way. And I said, okay, we're going to let him lead us to the Lord, but not anywhere else, you know what I mean? But I'm glad he went, though, because he's amazing. And it was amazing to see just this whole team. And I just thank God for all of you guys, even Lexi.
Name's Brian. For some of us, this was our fourth trip out. And but every time we go, you know, God puts a group together and we get out there and we're basically living in the same building, eating in the same rooms all the time, and it just works out. Everybody finds a role, everybody fills a role, and it just works out, even the travel. But since Dio wanted to bring up something on Lexi, Dio likes to play basketball too, and well, he talked about Lexi out there, you know, hitting all net, and she was all that. Well, Dio's out there with the high school kids, and he's dribbling the ball between his legs, behind his back, and he's taunting me, saying, "Come on, come on, come on." They were having a good time. Dio and G are great with the kids. But just to give you an overview, if you picture in your mind this school facility, it's pretty unique. Just picture a piece of barren ground, pretty much barren ground, in the high desert of Arizona. We're up above 5,000 feet. And a collection of buildings on this ground that are different shapes, different sizes, different colors. Some are dormitories, some are classrooms. It is a boarding school. The kids stay there for 2 weeks, go home a weekend, and come back. But to hear the testimony of these children when they talk to you, and we sit here like we are today and go home, and these kids are grateful for a place to come where they've got heat, food, safety. You know, when you hear them talk about that kind of stuff, it kind of takes you back, and it kind of gives you perspective time you come back. The staff out there is amazing. They're all wearing more than one hat as far as teachers, dorm parents, whatever. They're short-staffed. They do the best they can with what they've got, and they do really amazing stuff. The school is nothing like we picture a school back here. Even the lifestyle, they'll ask you when you go out there, do you have water where you live? Yeah, we've got water. We spent a lot of time thinking how to get rid of it. Of course, they've had a fair amount of rain this year, so it was as pretty out there as we've ever seen it. It was green, some spots water laying around, which is very odd. But, yeah, everybody fulfilled a role. We had a lot to do. We got it done. I got to know Mark better. We worked on some projects together. He's got some mechanical skills. He knows how to turn a wrench and use a hammer. And yeah, I got to know him. It worked out pretty well. But I got to say, what impressed me the most was the message that Mark gave to those kids one day at chapel. And I wish we had recorded it. You should have seen it. It was pretty amazing. Thank you, Keith. I wondered when you were going to chime in. I thought you were overdue. But really, the message that Mark gave you, simply using basketballs and volleyballs and don't drop Jesus, and it was something to watch. We missed the opportunity to tape that. You would have enjoyed it. But just thanks for everybody that went. Thanks for the opportunity to go. If we get to do it again next year, so be it. We'll find somewhere to go, but hopefully we get to go back. So just thanks to the team members, and everybody got along great. Everybody backed each other up. But God gets a group together that's going to do that every time. So just thanks to y'all.
You might notice that Cy's not here. Does she get released this week from the Arizona State? Yeah. Highway Patrol picked us up, and they thought they were looking for her. And so she's still there. Word has it from the crew that rode in Mark's car that one time the GPS said, "I don't know where you are." Yeah, it could be a rumor, but I'm not sure. But the background for the music this morning was the beautiful sunset there, and that's probably about the most beautiful thing there is the sunset. And picture that in your mind. Close your eyes for a minute, whatever it takes. But picture that in your mind, then I'm going to try to describe it. It's a bunch of prairie grass, three crosses, red and yellow and colors, and a little bit of mixed blue sky. That doesn't begin to touch what you saw with your eyes. And that's how it is when you go on a missions trip, whether it's here or Jamaica. You can't get up here and 3 minutes or 20 minutes like I'm going to take to try to describe what happens. And when you get there and the staff says, just be your joyful self, because these kids need to see that. 90% of the kids in the school come from a single parent or a single caregiver who they may know or may not know, household. And they're there for 210 days. But as was mentioned before about the staff, how would you like to have 28 kids hanging around you for 210 days. I had three, and there was times I wanted to choke them. But a couple times they choked me, but we won't. But the things that these kids experience. We did, I guess it was the last night we did a prayer walk around there. And the thing that really gets to you is the stuff that these kids go through, the abuse, kids that don't want to go home. For the weekend, they send them home with food because some of the kids won't get a meal from the time they leave there until the time they get back. And the families are so dysfunctional that sometimes it takes them a day or two to get back longer because they can't find a ride and no one cares to bring them. So it's really, you know, the things that these kids go through, and the fact that if you want to change someone's life, you know, having that much time to present Jesus to them and to live out Jesus to them really does minister to those kids. And I would just encourage you to, whether it's Jamaica or NACA, but when an opportunity comes up, to take it. But that also means to take it on a day-to-day basis with the world that surrounds you every day. So that's it.
Before Scott gets up, I'm going to just say a couple of things. One is ways you can help out with NACA. It'd be great if we could get somebody that would each week take, everybody bring in receipts from your grocery receipts and bring them in. And there's, I think it's General Mills, and there's a whole bunch of stuff, including Kleenex and all that. Anything on that receipt that is under that company, they give a certain amount of money. It's Box Top for Education. You can get an app on your phone. You just scan it. So if we had somebody that says, hey, I'll scan all those things, everybody could just bring in the bottom part of the receipt that has the barcode, and I think you just scan that, and it goes through, and they get money. They also get money off Coke products. So you just scan the lids and all on that. You could bring the lids in, or there's something on the 12-pack deal, right? The part you pull off, I don't know, but you could look at that too. But those are ways that doesn't cost us anything that we can help out. As we shared the stories, that was Shavanna and Daisy shared their story with us, and you just don't realize. I mean, these kids have gone through so much, and it's neat hearing how Jesus has just drawn them in, and he'll draw them in, and then, you know, life and the world and all the junk comes in, and they start running away, and he draws them back again, and he keeps drawing them and drawing them to himself. And Jesus is changing lives out there, and teams like our team go in there, and we become the hands and feet of Jesus. And sometimes it's working on doors or building enclosures in order to make it so the fire marshal doesn't close it down. You know, whatever it takes. And this team here, you've got a whole lot of different gifts, and each person used their own gifts, and we came together, and God just did a neat work. And tell you, for me, one of the great things was getting to know everybody on this team better. Dio had it right. Watch Lexi. See, she's smiling, and she sits there, and she's all, oh my goodness, she'll throw a dagger at you in a minute. You got to be careful. But then I got to work with Brian and Scott and got to know them better. And on the way from Phoenix Airport to Naka, Scott was riding up front with me. I didn't have too much problems getting there. That part was okay. It was coming back. And I think Michelle was navigating in the back. She was the backseat driver. That's why I got lost. I'm going to blame her anyway. But I got talking to Scott. And I hadn't really been around Scott much or heard anything. And he started sharing his story. And I said, man, you need to share that. People need to hear your story and what God's done in your life. And he came up to me later. He says, if you want me to share my story, I will. I said, yep, you will. So I've asked Scott to share his testimony along with how Naka's affected him. So it's all yours. And I did realize, working with Scott and Brian, man, they got a lot to put up with Keith, and Keith's got a lot to put up with them, so we need to be praying for Prettyman Construction.
All the time. Good morning. This was my fourth trip to Naka. I made my first trip in 2017, and on November 6, 2017, at Naka, I gave my life to Christ. So today is my day, and that's why I got to talk to y'all. That and Mark asked me to. Naka is a very special place. God has his hand on Naka. You should all go there. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not good at being messed up, you can't go to Naka, because you're going to get messed up. That's just how it is. Jesus will mess you up at Naka. He messed me up. If he can mess me up, he can mess up anybody. Before I went to Naka, I was further away from God than Naka is the Eastern Shore. Further. As the old timers would say, I was a rank heathen. I wasn't just a sinner. I was godless, because I hated God. I had nothing for him. Nothing. I grew up in church. I knew who God was, knew who Jesus was, knew what they did, what Jesus did. And I liked it when I was a little kid. Who doesn't? And then life happens. Parents got divorced. My father went on and made a whole new family, just like he had before, and he forgot my sister and myself. And at the time, I didn't realize how messed up that made me. So at 14, on Mother's Day, my mother woke me up to go to church, and I said, nope, I am done. I'm done with that fairy tale. I'm done believing in that stuff, and I'm not going to be a fool like you. That's what I told my mother on Mother's Day. And from then on, it was downhill. And just like it says in Romans 1:28, because I did not feel it important to retain the knowledge of God, he turned me over to a depraved mind to do what I ought not be doing. That's a nice way of putting it. It really is, because I did way worse than that. By 16, I was on my way to being a first-class alcoholic, because I ran with the big boys. And you either got to sink or swim. By 18, I got a drinking problem and a drug problem. And when I was 18, my mother turned her life over to Christ. And not too long after that, I OD'd. And the last thing I remember was sliding down the wall of a bathroom in a bar. That's where I was at. And when they found me, I was barely breathing. They called the ambulance. On the way to the hospital, heart stopped. They had to bring me back. I woke up in the hospital. My mother was sitting there. She had been crying her eyes out. My sister crying. I don't know what's happened. My mother told me what happened, and this is who I was. I looked right at her. I said, well, there ain't no white light, just so you know. I didn't once thank God for being alive. Didn't once think I need to change my life. Nope. The next day, I was back drinking and doing coke. I figured I was indestructible. God showed me mercy. A year later, he showed me grace. He gave me a daughter, my first. I have two. The last thing I thought I wanted and needed was a child. I mean, I knew I was messed up. But God gave me something I loved more than I hated myself. And I could be straight around her when I had her. Didn't drink, didn't do nothing, because I was scared to death something would happen and I wouldn't be able to handle it. A few years later, God blessed me with another daughter. God gave me daughters for a reason. So I would learn love, patience, understanding, Barbies, patience. Man, I'm here to tell you, I have spent a many hour on the floor with Barbie. That didn't sound good, did it? Anyway, but I was still living my life on my terms, nobody else's. I didn't care who it hurt, who it bothered, or anything else. No regard. In 2000, I met my wife, and I knew when I met her, she was the one. The only woman I ever loved, the only woman I ever wanted to marry. I knew she was my George Jones song. And Lexi, honey, I know you don't know what that means, so look it up. So we got married a year later. And God blessed me with another daughter. So now I got three. Well, when you live in sin, happiness is not a good thing. You don't know how to handle it. You don't know how to deal with it. You don't know what to do with it. So I destroyed it. I destroyed my marriage. My children always loved me, but I can tell you for a fact, there was a time they did not like Dad. They didn't want to be around Dad. Didn't know how Dad would react to this, that, say this, whatever. One night, Dad flipped the dining room table over while we were eating dinner. And before the night was over, I had three state troopers and a deputy sheriff in my house. That's how bad it was living at my house. My wife had finally had enough of it. He would blame her. My mother told her on many occasions, I'd leave him. I wouldn't put up with that. That's my mother. Of course, then again, my mother said she used to pray that God would shake me over the pits of hell. So, you know, evidently the front door wasn't good enough. But that's how bad I was. So me and my wife, we split up. We were living in Florida. I came back to Cambridge. And I just kept living my life. I had lost everything I ever had, everything I ever wanted, and the only person I've ever loved. And, oh well, that's just how it goes. In 2010, I had a grandson. He had to be born 3 months premature because my daughter wasn't doing good with the pregnancy. So I was there the night he was born. And when the doctor came out and told us he had a 50-50 chance of living, he weighed 2.5 pounds. Now he's almost as big as I am. But I couldn't tell you when the last time I prayed, but I prayed for him that night. Now I'm going to tell you, it was jacked up. I went over to the window and I said, look, I don't want nothing from you, and I ain't asking for me. But how about giving him a chance? That's the best I could do for my grandson. Problem is, my grandson loves Jesus. And he'd be 3-4 years old, and they'd take my daughter and son-in-law would take him to restaurants, and he'd jump up there on his seat, turn around to the people in the back, and go, hi, do you know Jesus? My daughter told me one day, she said, Elijah, that's his name, asked me a question. I said, what's that? She said, he wants to know how come you don't go to church. Everybody else goes to church, but Pop-Pop don't go to church. And I said, what'd you tell him? She said, I told him to ask you. Aren't too many things that make me nervous. That made me nervous. What am I going to tell my grandson that I love, and I know he loves Jesus, why Pop-Pop don't go to church? You know, what was I going to say? Oh, Pop-Pop's just a big old sinner, buddy, and that's just how it is. Thankfully, he never did ask me that question. I was just going through the motions of life, you know. No joy, no happiness. And nothing for God. I have cussed God. I have cursed God. I have made fun of God, ridiculed God. I've even dared God. And yet, he has always shown me mercy. I didn't deserve any of it. Then, in 2015, I was looking for some work. And this guy told me this guy needed a hand for 2 weeks. He said, you interested? I said, yeah, I need work. He says, his name's Keith Prettyman. I don't know who Keith Prettyman is. And this is what he said. And he told me this because he knew who I was and he knew how Keith was. He said, well, I got to tell you, he's a church man and he's serious about it. I said, I don't care. I'll take his money. It don't matter to me. I went and told my mom I was going to work for this guy named Keith Prettyman, and she looked right at me and she said, that won't last long. I said, well, it's only for 2 weeks. And she kind of rolled her eyes like, yeah, you'll be lucky to make it them 2 weeks. 7 years later, I'm still working for Keith Prettyman. But a year and a half, the Lord, I believe, put it on his heart to ask me to go to NACA. And Keith knew who I was. I didn't pretend. He knew who I was. But he also knew who God was. And we both probably should have realized just how big a sense of humor God had. He brings me Keith Prettyman, and then he tells Keith Prettyman, take him on a mission trip. And Keith listened, and he called me one night and asked me about it. Told me it was going to go out and work on a school for little Native American kids. Bad as I was, I still like kids. So I said, yeah. And as soon as I got off the phone with him, I went, what have I done? I can't do that. Because I actually like Keith. I like Carol a little bit more, but. So you're used to it. And I'm like, man, I can't do that. I got a terrible mouth, and I'm just not, nah, I can't be around that many Christians one time. Somebody's going to catch on fire. And like Keith and Carol's going to come back, and the church is going to say, you need to leave. But Keith listened. I listened. And a lot of things happened. Went to knock, and one of the things is I got a kidney stone from hell, and they had to go in and do a procedure anyway. They got rid of the kidney stone, but the pain was still there. I mean, there, knock you down to your knees, make you sick. The only thing that would take it away was fentanyl. That's how bad it was. Morphine wouldn't even touch it no more. So after the doctors told my mother, I don't know why he's having this pain. He doesn't have a kidney stone. My mother said, well, enough with the doctors. You're going to go see Reese Hurley. Well, I knew it was serious then. Reese Hurley is a 95-year-old missionary. She said, you're going to go to Reese, and he's going to pray for you and anoint you. I said, okay, whatever. I just can't take this pain no more. And when I went there, Reese said, can I touch the back of your neck? I said, my neck don't hurt, dude. It's my kidneys. He said, yeah, I know. So he touched the back of my neck, and he went, man, why are you running? Why are you doing this to yourself? And I looked right at him, and I said, I don't know. So he prayed over me. He anointed me. I've never had kidney pain since. So we went to Naka. And I'm like, okay, I got to be on my best behavior for 1 week. I don't even know what that is, but I'm going to try it. So we went to Naka. And like I said, on November 6th at 8:49 Pacific time, I asked Jesus to forgive me and be my Savior. I traded Jesus for all my junk. Now, I'd like to say I had that moment, but I did not. I woke up next morning and I went, I don't think it took. I don't feel no different. So I even went to Keith. I went, man, I don't know if that worked or not. He said, you'll see. We went to the Grand Canyon. And Joe Martin and I went down this footpath. We went down maybe 100 yards. No problem. On the way back, I did not think I was going to make it to the top. I mean, I thought I was fairly good shape, but I didn't think I was going to make it up to the top. I was completely out of breath. When I got up there, there was a bench. I sat down and I heard, you are so far down. If you follow my path, I'll take your breath away. There ain't nobody there. I'm thinking, boy, I'm really lightheaded. I'm hearing stuff. So we continued with our trip to Naka, and on the last night the group gave kids knapsacks with all these little trinkets. Nothing really special. But these are kids that don't have nothing. So anything is something. So for the first time I was there, these kids were acting like kids. They were smiling, laughing, running around, because all week long they're walking around with their head down. You know, other than G&DO, they don't want nothing to do with us, you know. But that night, they were kids. So after I embarrassed myself playing volleyball, I had to go to the bathroom. When I came back from the bathroom, the Lord stopped me right at the double doors and said, look, look what my love does. I said, all right, I'm in. I'm in. And that's when I felt it. The love that he showed to them kids came over to me. I ain't been the same since. Thank you. I knew I could count on you. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. If you don't know Jesus, what are you waiting for? You think you're so bad? You think you're so far away? You're not, because he's right here waiting for you. He's right here. Right here. Right behind you. Right now. Waiting for you. Just turn around. Trading your junk for Jesus is the best thing you'll ever do for your life. And now I'm going to tell you how I can prove it. A year and a half ago, me and my wife started talking again. We're now back together. Now I have a granddaughter. We have a house that I really didn't think we could afford, but turns out we could. Life is good. It's a whole lot better than it used to be. There's still troubles. There's still problems because life goes on. But it's a whole lot better knowing Jesus has got your back. All the way, all the time. And I just can't stress to you enough how good life is when you got Jesus. I thank God every day for Keith and Carol Prettyman. I thank God every day for Brian Spence, because they have helped me along the way. I thank God for this church. I thank God for NACA and all the people that have gone to NACA. It's a special place. You should go.
See why I said that story needed to be told? If you don't know Jesus, if you just know about him, you don't really know him. Because one of the things God didn't tell is, and hopefully I'm not getting out of place here, his wife's in Florida saw something on Facebook and saw Scott carrying a cross and said, what is going on here? I got to get up there and see this in person because something's different. That's not the Scott I knew. See, the old Scott's dead. He's a new man in Christ. And the same thing is available to each one of us, no matter where we are. And just knowing about Jesus, isn't it? It's knowing Jesus. It's dying to ourselves and living for Christ. That's what he wants to do in our lives. And that new life gives us all those things we were seeking after that we didn't know how to seek after. We were just seeking for something that wasn't there and we couldn't grab hold of. Every time we grabbed something, it was empty. What we're grabbing for is Jesus. And that's what Scott found at NACA. How many years ago now? 5 years ago. Let's pray together. And I invite you to join me in praying, asking Jesus to change your life, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to give you life. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you that you do not give up on us. Lord, I thank you for what you did in Scott's life. And we know that story can be told over and over again with different players, different circumstances throughout this this room right now. You have transformed lives. And Lord, I know there's people in here right now that you're wanting to transform their life. And maybe like Scott, they're resisting. Maybe they're cussing you and running from you. But Lord, you're pursuing them. That's why they're here today. That's why they were here to hear these stories. Lord, this morning, you don't tell us we have to have some complicated prayer. Just, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I give you all my junk. I give you me and ask you to fill me with yourself and give me new life and help me to walk with you. Lord, I pray that this morning you will transform lives. And as we walk out of here, maybe we don't hear that hallelujah chorus going on. But Lord, speak to us and remind us. It's not about those emotions. It's about that faith in you and following you. And help us to faithfully follow you. Lord, I thank you for this team that went to NACA, for the work we were able to get done, but more importantly, how you worked in the midst of that time to shape us and also to shape the people we encountered, the students there. We pray that you will continue to use that school, continue to bless it and use it to reach out to those kids, to transform lives, give them hope. They have no hope. Give them a future where they will glorify you and testify to what you have done in their lives. We praise you for all of this, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.